Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 64 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
That's not price gouging. What price gouging is, are these stations taking advantage of a natural disaster.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says his office is concerned with price gouging.
Flemingsburg suffered $40,000 to $50,000 in infrastructure damage during flooding in July.
The trial of a man accused of killing a 7-year-old girl will be moved.
A Boyd County prisoner that escaped and was recaptured has been charged.
Governor Matt Bevin signed two new pieces of legislation.
In sports, the Moorhead Eagles beat Kentucky Christian last night in the team's season opener.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers and possible thunderstorms tonight. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Hurricane Harvey caused the largest oil refinery in the Gulf Coast to shut down and gas prices to start to rise. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, Attorney General Andy Beshear says his office is concerned with price gouging. If that happens, Governor Matt Bevin must declare a state of emergency before Beshear's office can react.
That's what activates the law. But we want to get those complaints so that we can provide him that information and he can make those decisions. And this is one area where I'll give the governor and everybody else credit. We've worked pretty well through emergencies to make sure that law has been activated.
Beshear says a rise in prices due to refineries closing is not price gouging. However, residents are encouraged to report suspicious activity.
As an offshoot of Tropical Depression Harvey dumps rain on Kentucky over the next couple days, Lexington firefighters are warning people to drive carefully. Firefighter Greg Gerton says it takes a minimum of 6 inches of water to sweep away a person or a car. He tells WKYT emergency services are preparing for flooding like they saw in June, when remnants of Tropical Storm Cindy left many people in need of rescue.
We train every day, our swift water team and our rescue team, they train every Monday and just try to be prepared for the worst and hope the best.
WKYT reports some parts of the state could see 2 to 6 inches of rain through early Saturday. Gerton advises people to stay home if they can and look out for high water on the road.
National forests in Kentucky, Tennessee, and West Virginia are among more than a dozen across the South waiving campground fees for people displaced by recent flooding in Texas and elsewhere. The southern region of the U.S. Forest Service said areas included are the Daniel Boone National Forest, land between the Lakes National Recreation Area, Cherokee National Forest, and George Washington and Jefferson National Forest, which span the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia and cross into parts of West Virginia and Kentucky. The Forest Service recommends calling ahead or checking websites to determine what's available. And people requesting campsites should check in with campground hosts at each site.
Flemingsburg Mayor Martin Voyers reports his city sustained only about $40,000 to $50,000 in public infrastructure damage because of a storm-induced flood in late July. However, he's heard that the incident did create about $700,000 in damage to other entities around town.
I think the school system probably had the largest amount of damage with records that were stored in the basement of the Board of Education building. Their maintenance building there at the bus garage was entirely inundated. They had a couple of buses lost and a couple other pieces of equipment and then some wind damage at the elementary school. So that was the greatest damage that occurred there.
Voyer says Cheap's Chevrolet lost several vehicles in the flood, while a number of downtown businesses had water get into their basements. The damage to city property included 2 culverts that were washed out, part of a brick sidewalk and a section of fencing were wrecked. A couple of gas lines and a pair of sewer lines were also ruptured by the flood.
3 people in Fleming County have pleaded not guilty to charges of child endangerment. The Ledger Independent reports 38-year-old Amanda McLennan, 40-year-old Perry Hunt, and 23-year-old Caitlin Goodwin appeared in Fleming District Court yesterday. Public defenders were appointed to their cases. The 3 were arrested several weeks ago for allegedly endangering the welfare of minors. The children in question are now in the care of other family members following intervention by the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services.
A man accused of killing a 7-year-old girl in Kentucky will be tried in a new county. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
A judge ruled that 40-year-old Timothy Madden's trial will not be in Allen County, where it was originally set. Madden's attorney argued that the pretrial publicity prevented his client from getting a fair trial. He supported his claim with a survey showing that most surveyed residents believed Madden was guilty. Madden is charged with murder, kidnapping, rape, and sodomy in the 2015 death of Gabby Doolin. She was found dead in a wooded area near a youth football game her brother was playing in. I'm Haley Hansen.
A West Virginia teacher has been arrested after deputies say she sent numerous nude pictures to several students. According to WSAZ, Logan County Sheriff's deputies say 27-year-old Tracy Miller was arrested on Friday on three counts of distribution of obscene matter to minors. Miller was arraigned on charges and released on bond. Investigators say the arrest comes after deputies were contacted Thursday by administrators at Logan High School concerning the possibility of a teacher sending nude photos to students over the span of several months. Deputies say Miller admitted to sending the photos and that they're trying to locate additional students or individuals who may have received the inappropriate photos. Miller has been an employee at the school since January.
Hamilton County, Ohio police intercepted $1 million worth of heroin yesterday on I-74. WCPO in Cincinnati reports the seizure of 6.6 pounds of heroin took place in Whitewater Township. Cesar Medina and Elfego Velasquez Rosas of Chicago are in custody on charges of trafficking heroin. Sheriff Jim Neal says the pair were part of a large organization that has been funneling heroin from Chicago to Cincinnati. Medina and Rosas are being held on $2 million bonds.
A Tennessee man has been convicted for conspiring with soldiers at Fort Campbell to steal sensitive military equipment and sell it to foreign buyers. A federal jury on Thursday found John Roberts of Clarksville guilty of conspiracy to steal and sell government property, two counts of violating the Arms Export Control Act, and 10 counts of wire fraud. Prosecutors say he faces up to 5 years in prison for the conspiracy charge and up to 20 years each for each count of wire fraud and arms export violations. They note that more than $1 million worth of weapons, parts, body armor, helmets, gun sights, and other equipment was stolen and sold in vast black market. Six soldiers and another civilian have also pleaded guilty.
An escapee from the Boyd County Detention Center who was recently recaptured has now been charged. WMKY's Jack Cottle reports.
26-year-old Timothy Bates has been charged with felony escape in the second degree. Bates had spent over a month on the run after he and three other prisoners got away from the Boyd County Jail on July 30th. Bates, Zachary King, Robert Raines, and Jeremy DeBoard were all able to escape by removing a bathroom light fixture, breaking into a mop closet, and then exiting the building through a fire escape door. While King, Raines, and DeBoard were all taken back into custody fairly quickly, law enforcement agents didn't catch up to Bates until this past Wednesday, when they nabbed him in Greenup County after an informant told them Bates had called him seeking to buy drugs. Bates is currently lodged in the Greenup County Detention Center. He'd initially been jailed on a robbery allegation. For WMKY News, I'm Jack Cottle.
A Northeast Kentucky lawmaker says when it comes to ideas for fixing the state's troubled public pension systems, don't believe everything you hear. Republican State Representative Jill York of Grayson says even though a consulting firm has made some recommendations about what should be done to plug the system's $33 billion shortfall, the legislature hasn't made any decisions yet on how that will be done.
Every person out there that is watching this issue because they've worked in, at some point in their lives in government service or as a teacher, they are, you know, greatly concerned because the fear-mongering is in full tilt. Without information that we can share and be certain about, I can understand that. And so I just ask everybody to be patient and kind of wait on official channels to give you something to consider.
York recommends that if you have questions about the topic, call your local state representative or senator. She says the picture surrounding fixes for the public pension system should become clearer when the issue is dealt with in an expected upcoming special session of the General Assembly or during the 2018 regular session.
Governor Matt Bevin signed two new pieces of legislation yesterday. WYMT reports Bevin signed House Bill 377 during a day-long trip to Hazard. Representative Chris Fugit will help mining industry companies by significantly reducing a coal assessment tax that has quadrupled in recent years.
So what this bill did, it put all the industry together so that coal assessment tax was lowered back from 49.5% back to 14%.
Bevin also signed House Bill 156, which establishes a trail authority for up to 21 southeastern Kentucky counties. Fugit says the bill allows cities and counties in the coal fields to draw from an endowment fund for trail-related projects. While the bills are separate from one another, lawmakers say they hope both of them will impact tourism and create jobs.
Kentucky's Republican Agricultural Commissioner will travel to Japan next week as part of a trade mission with the United States Meat Export Federation. Ryan Quarles says he will meet with businesses interested in purchasing products from the United States. Quarles said the United States Meat Export Federation is paying for the trip and no state tax dollars will pay for his travel expenses. Kentucky Cattlemen Association Executive Vice President Dave Maples and Kentucky Corn Promotion Council Board Member Ray Allen McKay will also be on the trip. Kentucky exported more than $1 billion in agriculture and other related products in 2016, including $108 million worth of exports to Japan.
Saturday is George Garvin Brown's birthday. To celebrate the birth of its founder, Brown Foreman is releasing its Old Forester Birthday Bourbon. It's the 16th year for the limited release of this 12-year-old bourbon. This year's batch was distilled on May 27, 2005. Master taster Jackie Zykan says this year's birthday bourbon has a unique signature flavor.
But because the way that it stays with you and the way that the finish lingers on, and it's spicy, but it's not hot. It's peppery, but it doesn't burn going down. It's just nice and warming, and it's just the perfect fall and cooler weather bourbon.
Zykan says each year's special release is a little different, but all have the same Old Forester backbone flavor. The birthday bourbon will be available in select liquor stores in Louisville and across the U.S.
Wolf County will receive $73,000 from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet for rural secondary road aid. The money will be used to repair pavement breaks on Kentucky 1419 near mile marker 3 and 4. Public Information Officer H.B. Elkin says these funds are saved for emergency repairs just like this one.
We evaluate the rural secondary roads in the county whenever they have major repairs come up, usually due to high water, flooding, that type of thing. When we've had a weather event or something that would cause damage to the road, we use those funds to get the repairs made.
Elkin says rural secondary roads are the most common in the state, and the special funds are set aside from gasoline tax revenue in order to make necessary repairs.
The Carter County Sheriff's Department continues to wait for replacements for cruisers lost in June floods. Insurance will pay the full cost to replace the vehicles and equipment destroyed by flash flooding, but the funds have not arrived. Carter County Judge Executive Mike Malone says a lack of deputies is another issue the department is facing.
The crap several times is, you know, we got to pay a drug problem, or, you know, wrongful deaths and things like that. They're stretched as thin as they can be stretched as it is, but there's no more. The sheriff's department probably needs at least 18 deputies, and 18 deputies per day is probably about $650,000 to $800,000. There is no money to do that.
The sheriff's department currently has six deputies to cover the county's 450 square miles.
A U.S. district judge has dismissed a lawsuit against a former judge executive and the four current magistrates of Rowan County's fiscal court. WMKY's Mackenzie Thompson has the story.
Bluegrass Dutch Trust Moorhead, LLC, filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Ashland in February of 2016 against the Rowan fiscal court, former judge executive Jim Nickel, and current magistrates Ray White, Daryl Glover, Charlie Winkleman, and Stanley Messer. U.S. Senior Judge Henry R. Wilhoit Jr. released an opinion and order on August 16th that led to the dismissal of the charges. The filing lists the members of the trust as Beverly Powell of Kentucky, Douglas Dutcher, a resident of both Nevada and Kentucky, and Richard Skolnick of California. The lawsuit stated that the court denied an easement at a property owned by the company since 2003 in the Hickory Point subdivision as retaliation for one of the company members' support of current Judge Executive Walter Blevins during the 2014 general election. In August 2014, the trust attempted to obtain a variance from the court to permit the building of an iron fence with concrete pillars and an electric gate on the front of the driveway. The variance was not passed by the court. The charge against the fiscal court included a violation of the trust's right to exercise free speech to support a candidate of its choosing in a county election, as secured in the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The plaintiff's complaint was dismissed. If they disagree with the opinion, the trust has 30 days to appeal to the Sixth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. For WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight showers with possible thunderstorms and heavy rain. Lows will be around 59 degrees. Wind gusts may get as high as 18 miles per hour, and precipitation between 3/4 and 1 inch are possible. Tomorrow on Saturday, showers with highs near 65. There's an 80% chance of precipitation and of between a quarter and a half an inch of precipitation is possible. Saturday night, scattered showers, mainly before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with lows around 57. On Sunday, mostly sunny with highs near 75. And Sunday night will be mostly clear with lows around 57. And on your Labor Day, sunny skies with highs near 81 degrees. It's currently 62 degrees in Lexington, 60 degrees in Flemingsburg, 71 degrees in Inez, and 63 degrees in Ashland. It's currently 64 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
In our feature segment today, St. Clair Regional Medical Center's 23rd annual charity golf outing will take place on Thursday, September 14th, at the Eagle Trace Golf Course here in Rowan County. Logan Pemberton has the story.
The day will consist of two contests, one in the morning and the other later that afternoon. Tom Lewis is the executive director of the St. Clair Foundation. He says the proceeds raised during the event goes to offsetting the losses the hospital endures from caring for patients that may not be able to afford their treatments.
We do incur losses here at St. Clair with our charity care, people who come through our doors who either don't have insurance at all or don't have enough insurance or honestly just cannot afford to even pay their copay or their deductible, but it's care that they need.
Being located in an area with many low-income residents, the hospital understands that patients need care whether they can afford it or not. In fact, it's something they take pride in.
It's always been part of our mission at St. Clair to make sure that anybody who comes through our door in need of care can receive it regardless of their ability to pay.
Much of the money raised during the event comes from the sponsors and vendors. The benefit has raised $80,000 to $125,000 through the years. St. Clair sees the willingness of local and statewide businesses to help as a blessing.
So we're really appreciative of the businesses who historically, and you know, we also have a nice influx annually of new sponsors, and we really, really appreciate their support, particularly in the business community here and throughout the state of Kentucky. A lot of statewide companies that have been very generous and regular supporters of this golf outing.
The hospital is committed to, quote, proclaiming God's goodness through a healing ministry to the people of eastern Kentucky. Lewis says many businesses are more than willing to help raise money for the hospital because they understand their mission.
We really are blessed at St. Clair to have business partners, vendors, companies that we do business with who, quote-unquote, get it. They understand that St. Clair is here largely as a ministry. I mean, we make that abundantly clear even in our mission statement. We are a healing ministry. And I think a lot of the businesses that do business with St. Clair understand that, and they want to be a part of this event because they want to be a part of that mission.
Even though it is a golf tournament, Lewis hopes the event will be more fun than competitive. The SCR Foundation sees the event as a source of entertainment and charity rather than serious competition.
Try to make it more about the fun and not so much about the competitiveness and people feeling like they have to be super serious about their golf. It's more about coming out for a great cause and having a great day. So that's always our goal.
The event will be held on September 14th at the Eagle Trace Golf Course. Along with prizes for the winning teams, there will also be door prizes for anyone attending. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 4:50 and 64 degrees in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Ellen Barnett, and we're glad to have you with us on this stormy Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The football Eagles are off to a good start. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Moorhead State football team opened up its 2017 schedule last night with a 56-14 thrashing of Kentucky Christian at Jane Stadium. Redshirt freshman Roberto London and Logan Holbrook combined to rush for 237 yards and three touchdowns to lead the Eagles, while Lawson Page added four touchdown passes. Coach Rob Tenure says while a lot of things went right for MSU, he saw some things the Eagles will need to clean up next week in practice.
But you got to love to win, and so to get the first win this year, and I'm excited about that. Proud of a lot of the way a lot of the guys played tonight.
1-0 MSU hits the road next Saturday to face Liberty. The Kentucky football team will be out to avenge last year's 44-35 loss to Southern Mississippi when the Wildcats open the season tomorrow at 4 p.m. against the Golden Eagles down in Hattiesburg. UK coach Mark Stoops is anxious to see how his Wildcats will handle their first game.
You know, there's a lot of unknowns. You feel good about your team. You feel like you know you put in a lot of work, but the first game is the first game. And the fact that we're going on the road, we always have a plan, but, you know, things change very quickly. And we're going to have to make sure we adapt much better than we did a year ago in the opener and play a more sound football game.
Number 16 Louisville also kicks off its season tomorrow. The Cardinals will be in Indianapolis to square off with Purdue. The Round County football team will try to nudge above the .500 mark tomorrow when the 1-1 Vikings entertain 1-1 Mason County at 1 p.m. at Moorhead State's Jane Stadium. After last week's loss to Bath County, Round County coach Kelly Ford says this is a big game for his squad.
And we can get this one. I mean, it'll kind of could put us on the road of we're hitting a tough streak of our schedule. So we just can't show up and play. I mean, we've got to really grind and try to put a full game plan together.
After tomorrow night's game, Rowan will look forward to facing talented foes Fleming County, Bourbon County, Ashland Blazer, and Greenup County. Due to weather, many of the area's high school football games were moved from tonight to yesterday. Sean Delaney has the scores.
East Cutter down Betsy Lane 27-20. It was Fleming over Greenup 21-17. Ashland Blazer fell to George Washington of West Virginia 14-7. Johnson Central outscored Henry Clay 40-28. Nicholas topped Fairview 19-6. Raceland thumped West Carter 35-0. And South Point, Ohio beat Boyd 20-12. For Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
A busy weekend starts today for the Moorhead State volleyball team. The Eagles are in Williamsburg, Virginia for the Colonial Classic, and Coach Jamie Gordon says 2-2 MSU will need to play with more consistency, both offensively and defensively, against some very tough competition.
With both William and Marion Davidson, both of those teams are very scrappy, have some good solid right sides. Davidson has a really impressive right side. That's something that we haven't been able to defend as well as we'd like, and that's going to be something we're going to have to really focus on.
The Eagles are playing both Savannah State and William and Mary today, with Davidson scheduled for tomorrow. And lastly in sports, still looking for its first win of 2017, Morehead State Soccer Eagles are in Georgia tonight for a game against Kennesaw State. With MSU off to a 0-3 start, Coach Warren Lipka admits he's more worried about the play of his team than he is about Kennesaw.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. You know, we can go over the scouting report, which we do. We go over how they play. We go over their key players. But I would say 99% of this game is what we do, is not what they do.
The Soccer Eagles will continue their road trip on Sunday with a contest at Chattanooga. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball will host the Comfort Inn Invitational on Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th. Matches against South Carolina State and Troy on Friday and Middle Tennessee on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher as Wall Street assessed monetary policy following a weaker-than-expected jobs report. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 39.46 at 21,987.56. The blue-chip average was up above 22,000 briefly today. The S&P 500 was up 4.9 at 2476.55, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 6.67 at 6435.33. New York Stock Exchange breadth was just over 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The U.S. economy did add 156,000 jobs in the month of August, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Economists had expected 180,000 jobs to have been added last month, and wages grew at an annualized rate of 2.5%, which was less wage growth than had been anticipated. Other data released today included construction spending for July, which hit a 9-month low, and national factory activity for the month of August, which did expand more than expected. The 10-year Treasury bond briefly dropped to 2.11% in yield as bond prices initially were up. And before the end of the day, bond prices actually went back down to an extent, and the 10-year Treasury finished with a yield of 2.16%. Oil was up 0.2% at $47.33 a barrel, while gold was up 0.625% at $1,330.70 an ounce. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 index was up 0.6%, and in Asia, markets were mostly higher as the Nikkei was up 0.25%, and the Shanghai Composite was up 0.2%. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were GE and Chevron. Your worst performers were United Technologies and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Cabot Oil and Gas and Navient, and the worst performers were Cooper Companies and Electronic Arts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 24 cents at $62.29, AEP down 9 cents at $73.54, AK Steel up 9 cents at $5.69, Marathon Petroleum up $1.83 at $54.28, CSX down 42 cents at $49.78, and U.S. Bancorp is up 41 cents to finish at $51.66. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by St. Clair Regional.
Hello, I'm Ricky Watts, a nursing director at St. Clair Regional. We are currently looking to hire empathetic, compassionate registered nurses to join our team. Nursing is more than just a profession at St. Clair Regional. We have new RN rates and benefit packages, and we're growing. More information can be found at St. Clair Regional's website, st-clair.org.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Cody Robinson, Jack Caudill, Chaz Jenkins, Kinsey Thompson, and Tilden Johnson. Kentucky News Network's Haley Hansen, and our feature segment this afternoon from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Morehead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.